Science Grind Podcast, the podcast about maybe drowning yourself in the tub to save your sister's eternal soul from the devil. It could happen. I've done it. I feel like everybody's done it if you're cool enough. Have my co-host done it? We'll find out right now. First up, and this surreal thing we call life, I have seen him drink an entire elephant worth of tequila. My buddy Ryan.
I have. I also like to unfold my skin and then cut out perfectly cubed sections of meat and then have it fed to me after it's been fried.
Yeah, dude. Who doesn't?
That doesn't have anything to do with what we're talking about tonight. I just wanted to share that fact.
I do want to revisit that because it'll come plug in. Let's put a pin in that. Cannibalism?
Come plug? What? Mark? Dude, yeah, I don't think we can say that on our podcast.
We're putting a pin in that no matter what.
Speaking of pins, I think. I know that he once had a scary situation in 2 inches of water trying to catch his fire truck. It's my buddy Sean.
So, real quick, first off, Gone Girl is a 2014 movie about a woman who goes missing and her boyfriend is framed for her disappearance and possible murder. But it turns out she's alive and she's been framing him this whole time. And she actually kills somebody else and frames him in that. But, you know, right when she gets caught and you think that they're going to split, she actually reveals that she artificially inseminated herself. So she is pregnant with her with his child and they stay together happily ever after. But I've never had a fire truck and I wouldn't save either of my sisters. So how are we doing, boys?
Very nice. And I love the commitment to the bit.
I was like, why is he doing this right now? And then I remember.
It took me a hot minute.
I remember as soon as we talked about Gone Girl, a 2014 movie, I was like, yes.
No.
Way to go, King. Go off.
I'm so slow. Right, it took me a minute or 2 minutes. And then I was like, why is he spoiling this?
I was waiting for the connection. I was like, how does Gone Girl connect to this movie? I'm waiting with just bated breath.
Well, here's the beautiful thing about this movie. It doesn't have to, or it totally could connect. We just don't know if it does yet. But I feel we'll discuss that a lot more. And when we do, I think Brian will sound a lot like wop, 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 wop.
Wop, 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 wop.
Wow, you just made a chance. I only sound like that. Words you said.
I only sound like that when I'm not changing time, manipulating time because I dropped my lava that I was eating. My delicious lava cantaloupe soup. Some sort of vegetable that is also lava. Kind of looks like blood. It's very interesting.
It looked appetizing to a degree.
To a degree, you know.
We'll talk about it. You do.
What I'm saying is I am God.
Powers. Yeah, yeah, you were.
Yeah.
You have some fantastical powers. I look forward to talking about them. When we talk about the subject of this week's episode, for our illiterate friends that can't read the title card, it is Cat Soup, a surrealist short film. It is about exactly 30 minutes with credits included. I'm terrible at hosting. What, 2000?
2001.
2001? I wanted to guess 2001. It is a movie, as I said, I am familiar with. I want to go around just real quick, but I'm almost guessing none of you are familiar with this. You've never even heard of this, correct?
Not even a peep.
That is correct.
Not at all.
Okay. I had heard of it. Like I said, at the end of the episode last week, a friend of mine had this. He was my buddy that was way more into anime than I was. So he had, joined, like, there was an anime male club similar to like, the people that did the CDs for like a penny.
Like the Columbia Record Club.
Columbia That's Records, it. Thank you. I in my head it was Publishers Clearinghouse, and I'm like, it's not.
That's
right.
That's what so was in my think, head too, bro.
Yeah.
Well, there was also BMG Music House.
There was BMG Music House, yeah.
So either one of those, but like it was an anime version of that. So this dude had like a lot of anime and he was like really plugged into it. And he had showed me this because he was also my friend who I would hang out with in his basement and smoke weed and we'd play video games and shit together too. And so I just remember this being like associated with that. It was this short, weird ass movie. But it's crazy because it's another one of those I haven't seen in probably 20 years. And it's a little bit different seeing it now. And I am kind of stoked to talk about it. It's a definite weird ass film. But I don't really want to get into first exposures of it yet. I'm going to do the synopsis, air quotes.
I'm very excited to see how this goes.
best I can, because I'm sure we'll get into a lot of that too. But at the core, Cat Soup is about, I'm just going to refer to them as Brother Cat and Sister Cat, is about Brother Cat, who at the beginning of the film, when playing in the bathtub with his toy car, seems to fall in and loses consciousness to come outside of his house to a demon of sorts taking the soul of his sister, who is very, very sick, to someplace, we are assuming, the underworld, and he gives chase, coming upon the first of his surreal experiences in this limbo world that I will not fully explain because we'll get into them, but eventually catches up to his sister, where he gets into a tug of war over her soul with the demon, where it eventually splits in half, and he runs back home with her soul to return her to her body, but she's sort of only half there, and then the rest of the movie is another adventure to sort of hopefully get the other half of her soul to bring his sister fully back. And through this, it is a very odd journey through an otherworldly sort of death limbo world where rules don't fully exist. And what I love about this movie is that it is very clearly Japanese, but you don't need to understand anything to understand what is being shown throughout the film. And I've been very vague because, like I said, the biggest thing I can say is this is a very surreal film. So it's a lot about the experiences with it. So I feel like a lot of it's going to be talked about as we talk about the movie, sort of like how a comedy movie, we talk about what our favorite bits are. I feel that's sort of what this movie is like segments and experiences. And I kind of want to get into like, I figure we will try to break it down in our usual scoring aspect. But I also kind of feel like overall this is a movie about experiences. And I definitely took something from it this time differently that I didn't take from it when I was younger. So I'm curious to bring that up too. But I want to see what you guys thought of it first. So maybe before we really do jump in, I do want to just kind of go around and hear your guys' first initial responses to Cat Soup. And I want to start with Sean, because he looks the most grimaced.
I did not like this at all. I fucking hated this. Pause. I understand, and the entire time I could recognize why somebody did and does. It is, man, you just said something a couple minutes ago that got my face like this close to my screen. You're like, yeah, you're able to just take everything from this from watching it or something like that. I'm like hell I could. Man, that ended and I was like, I don't know what the fuck just happened.
Yeah, that's like, realism though.
I followed for about 2 minutes and then about halfway through it, I'm like, fuck me. This is a 4 hour, half hour movie. It just like, it felt like I would have enjoyed this so much better if it was just 6 5-minute little shorts that were able to consume instead of one long thing that I'm just like, I don't know what's happening. I don't know if this is the middle. I don't know if I'm closing in on the third act here. I don't know if this is wrapping up. And then everything starts disappearing, like a TV turning off. And I'm like, well, please, God.
I like how you're holding your brain, soul. Too. But you're like, the girl in Clue.
Yeah.
Brain was on fire. Okay,
so I didn't
flames hate it. On the side of my face.
Yeah.
I said that I fucking hate it and I hated it. I don't hate it. I was just like, man, what the fuck? The whole time. And I could not wait for it to end.
Okay.
Am I sending this to somebody else?
Well, before you do, I love that this was your experience. And again, I'm only a little upset because when I was watching it this time, I was like, here you go, Kyle. Now you finally got a banger. Nobody can hate on this one.
No, so I specifically specified that while I didn't like it, I can see how other people do. Typically, Kyle, I'm like, how the fuck does anybody like this? Is when you have a bad one. I'm like,
So, Ryan, okay. What did you experience with Cat Soup?
I was a bit more all over the place with it. I got a lot of feelings about Cat Soup. I really like the animation. And I like a lot of the experimentation they do. I feel like a lot of this feels experimental for better or worse. I can absolutely see why, Kyle, you are responding so hard to it and why Sean is absolutely not responding to it, because I don't know that I responded well to it in the first little bit, and it took me a long time to kind of get where it was going. And even then, it does a thing that I don't necessarily always love in movies, and I liken this to, Ron Frick and his kind of movies, like the Koyaanisqatsi and Samsara and Baraka, and they're essentially, they're beautifully shot, very, very beautiful scores and soundtracks, orchestral, like, sweeping scores, to just a bunch of, essentially, what would be now stock footage. Very, very, very beautiful stock footage. But the way the stock footage is put next to each other is where the context starts to come in. Because this scene is placed next to this scene, now you're getting a context. And like after three or four scenes, now maybe you're thinking about like capitalism and the way the world works. And like it just takes all these different scenes and these experiences to make like this context. And I feel like that's where this kind of feels for me, is it's just a bunch of different little segments. And I back what Sean said, whereas like I could see this working as like a multi-segmented, like episodic kind of thing, because it's just a bunch of little experiences that don't really connect ultimately until you start to like kind of see the bigger picture and like, oh, they're just talking about life and it's about experiences. And like, then you start to realize maybe this artist, like this is a very personal thing. I'm going to guess this director or artist, whoever's leading this thing, lost a child or something real dark. And this is like a cathartic kind of release. It felt really therapeutic in a way that good shorts are. I just was a little lost in the narrative and I just kind of wanted more. I don't regret watching it. I really enjoyed watching it. I thought it, again, very, very beautiful in the animation style and what it was doing. I just wish it did a little bit more connecting of the dots for me.
Sean, jump in real quick.
Yeah, I think you make a really good point. Like, I think all of the little mini shorts within the short are really well done. It's like the jarringness of them next to each other when it's just like you, it's almost like a blink and it's a completely different thing happening, which is why I would have absolutely liked it broken into shorts. And I don't remember the other reason why I was raising my hand, so.
Well, if you remember yeah. While Brian gives his experience, you can
jump back in again. Like a good boy.
Yeah, I feel like my experience is right there with Sean and Ryan's. I see where they're both coming from, what they're saying. And it is, there's a disconnect, I think. Like, I enjoyed it, I think, when all was said and done. I think I had a good time with this, but it was, I could have used the tiniest bit more narrative to say, like, this is where we're going. Even though by the end, I feel like you kind of get something there, but you really have to look at the whole thing as a full piece, whereas having these individual little segments that are really mindfuck after mindfuck, like, what am I watching? Until you start to sense the themes a little bit, but even by the end, you're like, is that what it was? I don't know, but I think overall I enjoyed it, even though I was left scratching my head.
It's good art will do.
I remember, boys. All right. So Brian brought up narrative in terms of putting stuff together. And it made me think of something that had come up in our Discord, which you can find at experiencegrind.com. The Discord link right in there. Come chat with us. But there's a little bit of a discourse going on about Iron Lung and like my feelings about like having to do homework to fully enjoy something. Something that I saw a lot in the reviews for this is people being like, oh, watch it and then watch it with the director's commentary and then watch it again. And I'm just like, no, I want to watch it just once. And if watching it with the director commentary or whatever commentary over the top of it amplifies it and makes it a better experience, I kind of have a little bit of a problem with that. And I know that I would enjoy it better if there was somebody talking over it and explaining their vision.
I've never ever watched this with any director's commentary. I've also never really sat down and read theories on this movie. I've always kept it as an art piece that is to be, you experience it the way you're set to experience it. And I think that's one of the things I like about this movie, because, spoiler alert, I'm going to be on the ropes. I will be defending the absolute fuck out of this movie. I adored it watching it this time. And maybe, most definitely my frequent more exposure to it, I definitely am more familiar with the overall theme. And maybe that's why, and I guess I can bring it up here, and maybe you guys can think on it. But the thing I definitely picked up on this was the overall selfishness of man and their willingness to destroy everything for something that they believe in, no matter how small and minuscule it will be, and no matter how destructive and repercussive it will be on whatever they're infecting it with. It doesn't matter. It's all about them and their pursuit. And I also like the aspect of the brother that's leading the charge is the younger of the siblings. And I think that also gives him just the more childlike, destructive nature to his interactions to a lot of this world. Like, especially with just the violent beating of the pig for no reason. I felt that just as like, that's a thing kids do. Like, they beat on stuff and they smash things. And
or the cheering I thought, of the lady being cut into a bunch of pieces and being really into then, that. Yeah.
Sometimes
people that was like the whole like crowd the that apple was into
silhouette.
It.
Yeah.
But it amplifies that theme too that you're saying, which is.
But I think that's also like kind of why what I like about it again. And again, maybe I guess it does speak more to me, and Ryan alluded to why I like this and Sean doesn't, is that I do have a big attraction to surreal art as a whole. I love that experience. And this whole movie has a very dreamlike quality. Looking at it now with my years of experience and just other entertainment, it's very Lynch heavy in just like the way it presents the dream states and the way it floats through the dream aspect, which again, I really like, but it's interesting that, number one, it's not interesting because it's a movie I've picked, so of course the rest of you all hate it, as is tradition. So let's break it down. I know, I'm just
I think this is going to surprise you.
Media literacy is dying, everybody.
Yeah. I think if we get into categories, we might surprise you.
Let's get into it in the categories.
I don't want to now.
Start with story. And let's have Ryan kick it off.
Because
I pulled the ripcord.
All right, well.
Start of the lawnmower.
Story is probably, I don't know. Shit. I really don't want to be first in story, but I
can go first.
Go ahead. Please go ahead.
All right, because I will come in high, but I will spoil it. It's not a perfect for me, but I do have this story for me as a 4. Because again, I like the presentation and the way that we get to a lot of the things. And I like the message that I interpreted from it that I feel a lot. Like, the big one for me is the weather monster that floods the world and how, like, they're using it for entertainment, but it's obviously causing it pain. And once they take the regulator off, the guy that's, like, telling them when to pull, and they just continue to pull and they have nothing put stopping them from doing it, and they eventually, you know, they push things too far and they flood the world. I thought that was a fucking awesome touch. Sean's laughing at it.
No, I'm not laughing at it. I'm looking at Brian's cheat sheet in the box office section and it popped up.
Oh. Oh. Sorry. Oh.
But that also led to, like, again, really cool, surreal scenes, like when God saved the world from the flood, and it's just like him lifting the world up and it drains off the shit.
Sometimes you got to pick the world up out of the water.
I thought that was kind of cool, the way that it presented these things. And like overall, the journey the brother goes through to bring his sister back. I will be honest, I'm also with Sean. I've not done my own external research on others' interpretations. I really don't understand the ending either, where everybody sort of just blinks out of existence as well. Outside of it just being a fourth wall break, showing us that this is its own presentation of a television show, because it ends in static. That's how it like hard cuts to as the ending. But overall, like I said, I really like this. I like the journey that we go through and the story of how it starts and the weird Japanese aspect of it. So I'm at a 4. That's where the baseline will start. Now let me kick it to Ryan.
Okay. And I will jump off and say, I do think that ending is exactly what you said, which is like, it is this fabrication. And I think it's the artist's fabrication that he made, because then the end credits are like rewinding that one scene over and over again and then stopping at certain frames, almost like this child is missing and he can't like get enough. So I think this child died, and what we're seeing is a fabrication that this person's doing through, and then it clicks out because it's all fake. That's my interpretation of it anyway. I feel like I get it. This is a movie I get. Like, I do feel like I get a lot of the things. I think as a story, it does not have the best of narrative flows. And this is my struggle. It is this episodic nature. And Sean put it best, and I'm going to keep harping on it, because it feels like a bunch of thoughts and ideas that were not necessarily part of like any one large overarching theme. It's many themes. It's an artist refusing to kill his darlings. It's an artist putting every thought about so many aspects of life into a movie and then just jumping around on this nonsensical journey and then tying it in with this very kind of emotional heavy wrapping, which I think I like the emotional stuff like a lot more than many of these things that Kyle really resonated with. If we're going to talk about like the man being so detrimental to the environment and just eating and consuming all around him and doesn't care, man's bad. Like, that doesn't, like, I know that. I don't need to be taught that. I don't know that that really is perfect or honestly complements this theme about loss and a child being lost. Like, they don't go hand in hand, and it feels like two different like things this artist wants to like vent about shoved into one thing, and I don't think it's a perfect marriage. I am I am so torn between a 2 and a 3 here. And if I can do a 2.5, I would like to do a 2.5 because I am right down the middle. I do want to say, I think I gave Send Help Story last week a 2. This is better. So 2.5, I think, fits. There we go. And with that, I don't know where either of you two are going to go. I don't know who's going to be more differing here, but I kind of am interested in Sean's opinion.
Yeah. So, I mean, I didn't read anybody's take on it. Like, I didn't go through any theories. Those were just like those were the big things that kept jumping out to me. So all I can go off of is what I took from it, which is fucking next to nothing. But which put a pin in that. But like what I took from this is like the sibling is not alive. I'm almost positive she's been dead since the beginning, and this is just a trauma response from the sibling trying to process what happened and realizing in the end, no matter what you do, there's nothing that you can do. You can go through all these, you can go through hell, you can go through all these phases. And honestly, if you think of that and think of this in terms of this kid trying to process it with all of these really sharp emotional things going on and just being hit by wave after wave. You know, these little shorts could be like these very vivid, sharp processing things for that kid that is trying to cope or whatever. And in the end, nothing matters, right? And we're kind of all left up to our own devices to put together what's happening. But in the grand scheme of things, it's like this story consists of the first 2 minutes, the last 30 seconds, and then 27 minutes and 30 seconds of you trying to piece together what is being shown to you. And for that, I cannot go higher than like 2 feels high. And I'm going to be generous and give it a 2. Send it to Brian.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like once this was all over and I sat with it, I could pull out the larger theme here of loss, grief, and all that kind of stuff that is told in a really abstract way. Right down to the point of like, they don't really tell you if this kid in the tub is dead or not the entire
movie. That's what I was going to say.
Because like they're focused so much on this other girl that is definitely half dead. The sister is half dead the whole movie. But to the point where it seems like it's telling two stories. It is a story about grief and the loss of not just a child, but I think children. I think it's the loss of both of them. One through illness and one through negligence while treating said illness. And I think it's also a story about how much and how hard the brother tries to help his sister and how the world around them just continues to go on. And, you know, people are laughing while there's a woman dying on stage. And there's you know, giving all of yourself until there's nothing left, like the water elephant, things like that. And then you see the world ends up ending, the world ends, and they have to rewind time to get this happy ending, and then the TV shuts off. So, like, eventually I feel like I pulled a full narrative out of it, but, like, I had to work for it. But I don't know. I like it. I think I'm going to give it a 3.
I want to jump in with something that I just realized. I'm pretty sure that whole family is just dead.
The whole family.
See, well, I think the whole family is dead.
Yeah,
because I don't think his head's in the tub, the girl's on the ground, the dad's laying down in a position of just like being out while drinking sake out of the side of his mouth. I don't know where the mom is.
The dad's awesome.
And cutting through all of these scenes could be referencing their deaths. Like, you've got the boy jumping into the water elephant. You've got the woman getting cut into little pieces. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. What else. I don't remember what
it
else
could be. See, the, and that's great. That and that's why I do like this film.
There because are at the end of a the lot day, of different ways to interpret it.
This movie is art, and we have interpreted it differently because I always saw it as the kid is dead in the tub, and the whole movie is like his last synopsis of like him interpreting what is happening to his soul as he's dying. So he's transitioning to it, and he's bringing his sick sister along as like a coping mechanism for him. He's not there, and that's why the whole family blinks out at the end, because he realized that he's dead and they're not really there, and so that's why he blinks out too, and the whole TV blinks out. But again, it's everybody's interpretation. It's good stuff.
But why? So you've got a kid face first in the bathtub and a girl dead on the ground over there, and the dad's just laying in the living room drinking sake out of the side of his mouth. I mean, the pieces ain't piecing.
They don't have to. It's
he's motherfucker's dying. Dead. That man's dead.
He could be dead. He could have drank himself to death. I don't know. Who knows? I'll have to watch it again. So that'll take us on to characters, which is going to be a bit of a weird one.
Yeah.
Because fully admit, there in my head, there are two main characters, but there are a lot of ancillary characters. Like you mentioned, the water elephant, I would count, but they don't. Man. It's weird. There's no character development, so it's going to be an interesting one to break down. I guess again, I'll take lead. I'll try to start a baseline, unless Sean wants to.
I can lead this
Go
bad
ahead.
Boy off.
Go ahead.
I could too.
So, all right. Okay. So story. I like I said, I think it may surprise you getting into the different categories, because the story I had a big problem with. The characters and the style, I did not have a big problem with. The characters in this, while on paper going into this, if you finish it and you look back and you're like, man, how do I define the characters? Like, man, it's pretty thin. You've got to really grasp for stuff to really everything to have their own well-developedness and blah, blah, blah. Wrong. That pig gets several points on his own, and Soup Man in his BDSM gear running towards the soup
oh,
thing.
Oh, man, that guy's
Mickey Mouse ears.
Forgot about that guy again.
And he's dude. Actually a robot?
Dude, yeah. This, the water elephant, like, honestly, the cats, I like the least in this fucking movie. I just don't like cats. I think that might be
I'm definitely
my
a dog
bias
person.
Thing. I fucking hate cats,
too,
but like,
I still like cats.
Nope. Like, even looking at these images in the cheat sheet, I want to punch those cats in the face. Big ass eyeballs and shit. But these, man, every other character in this, I fucking really found so entertaining and really unnerving. And I think that is 100% the intention. So succeed. I'm going a hard 4 here. Fucking loved. I love these characters. No matter what I thought about pacing and other things, they were so entertaining. And I'll send it to Brian.
Yeah, I'm kind of in agreement here. I think all the little side characters we get are fascinating. And I think there is something of an arc for the brother cat. Everybody else less so. But I think the brother goes on a journey. Well,
Superman didn't have
there's not really, I guess you couldn't say that the brothers changed at the end, because they just kind of fulfill their mission of reviving their sister.
Of what?
if anything, the sister has a bigger arc because she goes from being dead to being alive.
ta-da!
Because flower. Maybe the pig has the biggest arc, actually, from being in the boat, to being dinner, to being a taxi, to being beaten to death.
Honestly, you joke, but really.
But.
You might.
Yeah. Realistically.
That motherfucker, I haven't seen somebody eat themselves since Silence of the Lambs, so.
He was so fucking wild. Happy. So cute.
Hannibal.
Oh, Hannibal. Yeah. You're right.
Hannibal.
Really?
The,
Yeah.
I do like the guy who like took them in with the good smells and fed them and then made them into cat soup, or tried to make them into cat soup, but then burst out in full BDSM Mickey Mouse gear with the giant scissors and try to chop off their heads in the soup. And like, that's,
that shit was,
you can't
amazing.
Do that. Just let time take care of them. They're sitting in the pot. You know, the story about boiling a frog? Is it a story or is it just an adage? I don't know.
I think that's just a, an
you drop adage. A frog into a hot pot, it's just going to jump out. But if you put it in there and boil it slowly, the frog stays in.
It might just be science.
It could just be science.
I think I that's know. Just science. I think that's their blood.
But it also, it's deeper than that. It's open to your own interpretation. I'm also, I think I'm going to go with 3 on characters. There's not a whole lot of depth in the characters, but I think that's taken care of by the story and style. So it's less necessary. It's weird because it's a character driven story, but not. It's mm-hmm. the overall, it's the character is basically the director and the writer, writers instead of the characters on screen. So it's, it's interesting. I got to go 3 and just send it to Ryan so he can make my words make sense.
My words might go in the face of your words.
Because even better.
I think you two are very high on character. And I think you're bleeding
4 in was very generous.
Other aspects here. Because I agree. I think there's a lot that informs the character that's not in the character. The characters themselves, I think, as Brian, you pointed out, kind of don't really evolve or change. They are just how they are. That little brother cat is just like that little brother cat. And like, kind of, I wouldn't say he learns that much, if much at all, but he does succeed the thing. I think these other ancillary characters are very entertaining and fascinating, but that's largely driven by their style. The look of them, how they move on the screen, the way they're animated. I think that does so much of the heavy lifting that you separate that out and you're left with not much for characters, because this is a movie not about characters or anything. It's about ideas and themes and thoughts and all this shit. So I don't think the characters are very strong. So once again, I'm going to have a low score that is lower than like really kind of my thoughts and reflection on this movie as a whole. But I think characters are a 2 for me. I don't think the characters are strong, and that's fine. They don't have to be. Also, Kyle, carry us out.
Ryan, I'm going to let you finish because you're 100% correct. But I fully disagree, and I'm with Sean. I'm a hard 4 on characters.
how does that make any sense?
I know it doesn't really, because you do make 100% sense, and I like it. But I'm going to let style bleed in, I guess, and influence the characters, maybe.
As long as it's known.
I do like them for
I'm
what they
fully
are.
Fully aware of my manipulation, and I'm sticking to
it. It is the realization
Shim-sham
of
show.
The character, though. Like,
I
their
like,
visual portrayal is the realization of the character.
I mean, like, I like the wizard guy is, I guess that is God, too. You have
are
mentioned
the
lady
same?
Getting cut in half a lot. I don't know why. I like that scene. I think that scene seemed to bother you guys more.
Who's bothered by it?
Okay. I don't know.
I bothered by it.
That's how I
originally read it. I was just like, damn, this is what we're doing.
It was wild. It is out of nowhere. There are shocking moments of violence.
You guys never been to a whale circus before? That's just what happens.
I like the character moments that are explained. Like, I like the way that, again, I mentioned, I really resonated with that storm beast this time. I don't know why. I really liked how its cries of pain, like, seemed to shatter reality.
Is that the elephant? It's hard to put it
in. The elephant was a different thing. He was also
Okay.
Cool. I'm talking about the thing that was like a clear trash bag that's made out of storms.
Storms. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Clouds. And then the clouds were raining.
It's such
it
a weird
water,
thing to
and
say.
It popped in the flood of the world. It is a bizarre thing to say, but this movie, here we are.
Yeah. But with that, we will move right into style. And F it. Will it turn it around? Let's find out. Ryan?
Okay, cool. 5, and unequivocal 5. I think the style is perfect. I admittedly hated the opening title scene and thought it was super cheap how it was one large image that they just moved and panned around the camera. I was like, fuck, we're in for a flash animation. God damn it. And then everything else was absolutely beautiful. I think the very second shot of this movie is this really cool first person, like almost Sam Raimi Evil Dead-esque camera going through. And I was like, oh, we're good. I love the style of this. I think this is beautiful. I think I've already talked about that. Easy five for me. Brian.
Yeah, I'm actually tempted to use the bonus point on style because, like, goddamn, this is...
If you don't, I'm going to, so just be aware.
Well, then you know what? I'm going to save it for you. I'm going to let you do it. This is a five for me. This thing commits so hard to what it is and the surrealness of it, and the animation is beautiful. It's funny you mentioned the opening credits because I had a similar thought at first, but they stuck with the bit for so long that I came around on it. I was like, okay, actually this is kind of fun. We're just panning around this and like the geometry of it almost doesn't make sense. You're like, wait, shouldn't there be footprints still here? But I don't know. I just really enjoyed it. And stylistically, every what the fuck moment was like a, God, I need more until I can maybe figure out what's happening. But style-wise, five. And let's see what Sean has to say.
Easy five. I can say everything about the story and how I wish it was broken down into, you know, a ton of little shorts. But here's the thing. Like, I still want those shorts because... I do love like surrealistic looking things. I love the way that this was done. I think everything visually was stunning. Even though, man, I really fucking hate those cats. But even going into like the audio design of it, it's like some things feel a little hollow, but man, there are some things that are just like so well done. Like the clink, 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 walking on the waves was just such, that was like scene. Audibly surreal, which was really cool, taking the surrealism in like another, to another sense. So it was really awesome that they were able to do that. And like, I couldn't be any harder of a five here. And Kyle, take us away.
Yeah, so I gave it away, but I'm using the bonus point. Of course, this is getting a six. I was about 25 minutes into this rewatch and I was like, man, this is awesome. This is like all my favorite parts from the Animatrix. Which one of my favorite bits from that is the one where like it's the haunted house that's like a defective part of the Matrix code where like physics don't work right and it's a very surreal episode. Great stuff.
I still haven't seen the Animatrix.
God damn it. We might need to retouch that one sometime. Maybe break them out.
Good.
Those are segmented out, which is a great part about the Animatrix, is that you can watch them all, but they are like little own segmented stories that tell an overarching experience. Kind of. Have you ever seen them, Sean?
Yeah.
Nope.
I know Ryan.
Typically, I don't like fucking little shorts things. Fourth episode, but
it was. I'm here for that.
Mm-hmm. We should definitely retouch those, especially if you guys at least experience. I don't know. We'll talk about it later. Anyways. Hey, style is a six for me. It was. wait, we do entertainment value now, right? And then end with director?
Nah, whatever director want, and buddy. Then entertainment. It's I always have we end show. With how we felt about it.
Okay, director then. Yeah. I don't want to kick this one off. Brian.
Why did you pick the one you didn't want to do?
Because it's funny.
It is. One of the things I didn't mention in style, and I should have, was the music. I feel like at parts it was very after school special feeling. But then there was one scene where I just instantly it was playing this jaunty little tune and I was like, oh, my head's bobbing. And by like the third repetition, I was like, oh, I like this song. I'm going to hum along. So that was okay. It's worth something, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even remember what scene it was, but I was like, yeah, I'm into this tune. Let's go. So direction. This It was directed by Tetsuo Seto. And he directed this. He sure did. I feel like this is like the combination of the things we've talked about. Like, I love the style. I think the story could be better. But the overarching themes, I think, eventually come through for each individual viewer, maybe in a different way. So maybe it doesn't need that extra storyline. I don't know. I feel like whoever this guy is had a vision, and I feel like he executed it. Whether it's a good vision or a complete vision, I don't know. But I think he did a good job portraying what he set out to portray. So for that, I give him a 4, because I don't have enough information to do otherwise as far as box office and how impressive this was on a budget. No clue, but I know I liked it. Kyle.
I appreciate that, Brian, that you kicked it to me, because coming off of style, and I think I've gone on a bit of a statement lately that I feel like style and director are tied closely together. But I think, based a lot on the three of your experience with the film, kind of says a lot. And for that, I'm with Brian. I think it's a 4, because I think he does have a vision and he presents that vision, but I think there is some overall difficulty in that vision's presentation, obviously. And so I don't think that can warrant a perfect, because it definitely has some struggles if it's going through that. But I think a 4 is apt, again, because it is such an experience and such an artistic statement, and it is presented with that through line through it, no matter how weird it is. So yeah, four fears fair, and let me kick four it fears to feel. Ryan.
I also feel 4 fears fair. I'm right there with you. I think 4 is perfect. I think the style is much more successful than some of the other elements of the movie, mm-hmm. though I do think this is very strong. And if we're talking about director specifically, this is Tatsuo Sato. Not familiar with him. I would absolutely watch another of his movies after seeing this. Even though the story didn't necessarily fully click for me, I do think there are a lot of interesting things happening here. There's a lot of promise. And more so, Kyle, you compared this to David Lynch earlier. Mm-hmm. And I can kind of see that, though. I do feel this is much more accessible than David Lynch. I think sure. I would recommend this before a Lynch movie any day of the week. I do think this is too. A lot easier to get into. So I do just want to make that just distinction. Like, it's similar, but Lynch is still like, you have to be like,
it's a whole different beast.
This is like step 1, and Lynch is like step 6 or 7. Like, you still have a ways to go. But this, I do really respond to what the director's doing here. I would absolutely follow him for more. I think 4 is perfect. John, wrap us up.
5. I'm going to go a 5 here. Here's my thing, is that this isn't for me, but it's very clear to see that this is for a lot of other people. And I think what Tetsuo was able to do, or what he did with this, is very impressive. It has us talking about this. Ryan would check out more. Ryan would absolutely check out more of his stuff. I would absolutely check out more of his stuff. Like, I'm curious to see what else he has done, just because this story wasn't for me. And I don't even know if I can knock the how chaotic it was with the cuts from like one, let's say, sketch to another sketch to another sketch kind of thing, how it's kind of so jarring. That might be intentional, and that's just something that doesn't resonate well with me. But from what I've seen, it resonates with a lot of other people who think that it's absolutely brilliant. And I just don't understand it, or it. I can't let my own inability to fully realize what he did really hinder the fact that he did a really good job. So I think this is a 5 for me.
Very nice. I've actually, you guys have both brought it up. I have never watched a single other thing from this guy and never even thought to, but I'm looking at it. I'm going to watch some more of this shit and see what the hell we get into.
There's because one space series he did that I'm super into.
I saw that too. Stelvia?
That one.
Yeah. Also, all right. So we'll talk more off air. But that'll take us to this our is final also, category, gentlemen. What?
This is also based on a manga. Like, so there's a pre-existing history with these characters that I'm also not familiar with. So, like, that I'm sure is massive in Japan, or at one point was massive in Japan. So it's, I don't know. It's like taking a sneak peek into something that was massive culturally somewhere else that I have zero idea about.
Fair enough. Entertainment value, gentlemen.
He just died.
Last?
Oh, great. God, no.
That's going to boost the entertainment value.
Like a month ago, yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Timely.
To a real one. Shout out. Yeah. Shout out to Tatsuo. Tatsuo Soto. Shout out, yo.
Yo, episode directed. I gave you a five before I found out
you're so proud of your
died.
Family too.
You're welcome. Bodacious space pirates.
Entertainment value. Again, I feel kind of tied overall to everything. But the man did make an entertaining short, and I feel that is a big driver of at least my entertainment of this, is that 30 minutes, man. That no matter what, you're not sitting in for a long slog. No matter what Sean says, it's a 4-hour, 30-minute movie. It is only 30 minutes. You're in and out, man. It's over and done. I watched it twice since we've talked, because you can just fit it in. And I do like this movie. So overall, it's not perfect, like you said. So it's not a 5 for me, but I am giving it a 4. And I will kick it to Sean on this round.
All right. I'm dropping back down. I am blown. I was so excited that we were going to be watching a 30-minute thing. And I was talking to Sarah this morning. I'm like, oh yeah, I don't have to watch a movie. It's just like this half-hour thing. We can watch it together. And man, it was one of those times where I feel like 10 minutes in my head. I was like, I am so sorry. I'm so sorry. And then like 10 minutes later, I'm like, oh dear God, is this almost over? And then 3 minutes went by, and I looked at my phone to see how much time was left. I was like, fuck me. This is going to be the longest 4 minutes ever. So I can appreciate everything that this did, but my enjoyment at the time of watching this was a generous 2.
Ooh. Fair enough.
And I'll send it to Ryan.
Dang. So probably not surprising. I'm going to be somewhere in the middle. I put this on the positive side. I'm not overly positive on the experience. And in fact, I think I watched it this afternoon. I kind of wish I'll say I usually watch these things really close to the recording so I can remember as many details as possible. But I kind of wish I sat longer with this, because I think this is a movie that's going to grow as I think on it. So right now I feel like this is a 3 for me. I'm positive. I'm on the positive side. I'm just not like super positive, but I think if you talk to me in like maybe like a few weeks, as I really think on it and like chew into it maybe a bit more, it might grow to a 4. But I enjoyed, actually, no, I don't know. No, I'll say just
take
because
it back,
like
I hated it.
Well, no, is weird because style, I'm trying not to bleed over, but style does kind of have an effect here, because the entire time, even as like I'm struggling with some of the concepts in the moment, and I do think they're going to fare better in hindsight, in the moment, I am entertained and intrigued by the animation and what's happening. So I actually think maybe I might even be a 4. Because I do think it is entertaining. And this is what we are. Get any other shit out of here. It is just, did this hold my attention? And it really did. I hate that Sean had the experience he did where he struggled with the time. I didn't. The whole time, I was there questioning what was happening, but I felt it was pretty well paced, to be honest myself. So I'm going to give it 4, and maybe I feel good about it. Brian, close us out.
I'm going to say, I see where Sean's coming from with the time a little bit, because I feel like for the first 15 minutes of this, I was like, this is moving kind of slow. But then it ended, and I was like, that was it? So, like, I don't know. It did a little bit of both. Like, it was slow to get to some places, and then all of a sudden it would be like, oh, okay, I guess that's that. A lot of hurry up and stop, or take your time and then hurry to the conclusion. I don't know. But overall, I was scratching my head a lot, but in a really fun way. I was like, what the fuck is happening? Give me another one. What the fuck is happening? Let's keep going. Yeah. I still am not entirely sure what was happening, but I feel like I had a good time with it. You know, I'm giving it a 3.5, which is exactly what Ryan couldn't decide.
I forgot that we could do that. You can knock me to a 3.5 as well, sir.
Yeah, because this is, I enjoyed it. I just don't know if I could get it to a 4. And I know it's definitely not a 5. So that's what we got.
You've also, do you have any statistical breakdowns you can add into this?
I have very few. It's not on Rotten Tomatoes or Metacritic, but it is on IMDb and Letterboxd. So IMDb, it has a 7.5.
Hey! And
on Letterboxd, it has a 4.1. So I feel like that's a symptom of this movie being sought out by the demographic that would normally consume this. It's not, 100%. It doesn't have a ton of eyes on it. So there is a bias in those user submitted reviews.
That's a couple of thousand reviews, wasn't it?
On IMDb. I don't usually look at how many it is. I just look at the number and go, cool.
6,600.
It's not bad.
Bam. Okay.
Ratings, which was much higher than I thought that it would have.
Yeah. So
again, I feel like if you like it, you're of the type you're also going to talk about it online.
The kind of people that are writing reviews for this movie are the kind of people who would see this movie.
I have to admit, this was a fun experiment. I hope you guys liked it. It has inspired me to seek out more shorter form content, and I think my next one I submit will also be something of this. To jump off something Ryan mentioned, I would suggest, if I do go with this and this is the shorter, maybe do watch it earlier because it is shorter and try to sit on it, because I think the one I will share will also be a bit, maybe not, I could be blowing it up. I gotta watch it first to see if it's worth sharing. I'm not going in blind on the next one, fellas. We're gonna find out. But overall, I had a really good time. Brian, what is our final score on Cat Soup?
Our final score is a 75.5.
That's not bad. Wow. That's a 3 out of 4.
That's in line.
That's a 3 out of 4. 3 stars, baby. That's good.
That's positive. That's a firm positive.
I'd put that in the range of the IMDb score.
Yeah.
Maybe a bit higher on IMDb, but I feel we're right around that. Wow. So. As we go again, boys, we struck it gold. Like I said, I had a fucking blast this time. And I think I'm okay. So next is Sean. Sean, what are you bringing?
All right, so we're not 2014, doing Jackass
June, right?
I don't know.
June Gas?
I don't think we should. Because you take the next movie.
We could Jackass July. The J's are right there.
Let's go.
There are two
J's. Right, no, because actually it'll be December part 2. Tism
August.
Can't do it. That's true.
Tism August. Oh, God.
August already?
Almost. So I'm bringing a little 2014 movie, Gone Girl.
You bring in Gone Girl?
I haven't seen it, but I know how it ends. Spoiled it,
but spoiler alert, I fucking love that movie.
Same.
It's David Fincher, number one. Gone Girl fucking rules.
Ben Affleck, great performance. Kills. Tyler Perry,
crush.
Great performance. Rosamund Pike, great performance.
Destroys. Amazing fucking Amy.
All good. All good.
Anyways. Sorry, Sean.
Man. No, alliteration of the title. That's not what I'm doing. I really wish there was an easy way to watch the new Curry Barker obsession, because I've heard nothing but amazing things about that.
I have been hearing good reviews about it.
Oh my God. I can't wait to watch that. But I am bringing a Ewan McGregor and Jim Carrey flick. I Love You, Philip Morris.
I've always wanted to see this. I never got around to it.
Let's go.
Nice. I'm excited.
So that's what we have in tune for you folks next week. And yeah, if you enjoyed this, you enjoy our content. If you've ever been curious as to who dressed up as an Apple silhouette, which is suspiciously like blackface, tune into this week's Patreon, where we discuss that.
It wasn't me.
ExperienceGuide.com. Find the Patreon link where for as little as like $70.
The blackface and also slept in porn rooms.
It is exactly who you think it would have been. Not who you think. Kai, I'm trying not to make it obvious, all right? So yeah, Patreon right over there. I already mentioned it earlier. The Discord is right on the website as well, experiencegrind.com. Click one of the links. That's also, you can go on there and search through hundreds of episodes right through there. But why would you? You have an app for that. But anyways, that's all. That's all I'm doing. I love you, Philip Morris. Kyle.
All right. Well, until next time, audience, why don't you go unzip your skin, peel off a section of your fat, fry it up, and go eat yourself.
We put a pin in that and then literally never came back to it until the sign off. That's really fucking sad.